reading this morning from the Eco Faith Recovery Bible, the newly revised practices version, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, all of Jesus' closest disciples, men, women, queer folks of all sorts, were together in one place. Now, Jesus had told the women at the tomb to go to Jerusalem and to get ready because they were about to access spiritual power as they had never known before. So that their movement for the recovery of human life and the healing of God's creation could continue even without their leader. So there they were, in the upper room. And suddenly, inside the house, the air started moving. The air they had breathed every moment of every day started blowing and swirling. And suddenly, fire, the fire of the sun, the fire of life, the fire of burning passion came upon each and every one of them, and they were filled with spiritual power. Spiritual power with a purpose. Not power for self-aggrandizement or power to amass wealth. No, spiritual power they accessed was the power to connect with people vastly different from themselves. The power the Spirit gave them the ability to speak different languages, and not only to speak, but to understand other languages, to develop relationships across differences in ways they have never been able to before. To understand another person's language and the worldview that accompanies that language. To see from another person's perspective. To develop relationships across differences and awaken a new kind of spiritual power in the other person and in the relationship itself. Now, of course, there were people watching. People who remained isolated, believing all the Roman propaganda about self-sufficiency and individualism and never-ending progress. And they didn't understand what was going on, so they trivialized it. They put it down. They laughed at it. They're drunk. Don't take them seriously. But the disciples responded not with judgment, but compassion, and by telling their story. Because, you see, they knew that the power of God was at work in their lives. They knew that the power of God's liberating love had been at work in the lives and the stories of their people and the stories of their land. And so Peter got up in public and told his story. He reached back into the stories of his ancestors to help interpret what was happening right then. And it was through the sharing of those stories that people who once made fun of them were cut to the heart. And then they asked the disciples, "What should we do?" And the disciples, filled with spiritual power, said, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Look at the destructive powers at work. See how we participate in them. Look how we isolate ourselves and objectify others. See how our own faith tradition has been co-opted by the powers of empire and turned into legalism and rule following and empty rituals. Look at how the power of our courageous ancestors in liberation, Moses and Miriam and Aaron, runs through our veins, and yet we abdicate our public responsibility to act for justice. Repent! Repent, the disciples said. That's what you can do. Repent of your abdication of collective power. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom God calls. And about 3,000 people registered for the Eco Faith Recovery Institute. I mean, we're baptized. But wait, there's more. That was just the beginning. Then they began their process of mentoring and mutual mentoring, passing on their ancestral wisdom and stories, learning and teaching, developing more and more relationships as they broke bread together and prayed. And they acted together publicly. They held actions in the temple courts every day. And they evaluated their actions on flip charts made of papyrus. I'm just kidding, they can do that. But I'm sure they reflected on their actions, for sure. This part I am not making up. Because of their collective relationships and their spiritual power, do you know what they were able to do? They were able to divest from Rome's extraction economy. They were able to divest from Rome's extraction economy that was killing them and everyone around them. They sold private property and possessions and created an alternative economy that made sure that no one had too much and no one had too little. The manna rebirth was on. They were returning to the sacred rhythms of Sabbath and Jubilee. They were restoring balance in the belly of an empire that had gotten so devastatingly out of balance. And it was the happiest and most joyful any of them had ever been. It's true. It says, they broke bread and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of them. They were joyful. Joy in the impossible and never-ending work of restoring balance in the belly of empire. Joy. Can you imagine? Joy. Let's imagine together. May it be so. Amen.
Amen. Amen.